apart. Lord Jesus, we desire for your presence to be among us. We know that you are here by your Holy Spirit. And we have sung these words. We desire to be holy. We desire to have the sin gone from our lives. We desire that the imperfections of life that are all around us would not permeate our lives and our homes. I pray in the powerful name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would do battle in the spiritual realm and fend off the attacks of the enemy. I pray that you would fill all the homes that are represented here. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, with your Holy Spirit. Fill these homes and these lives to overflowing, Lord Jesus. In a society, in a world that is dry and parched and desperate for the springs of living water, for real love and joy and peace, for patience, kindness, and goodness, for gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Would you, Lord, move among us and in us? Make us holy. Not for our sake, but for yours and for this creation, for your creation. Holy. Holy. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And so we pray this in the matchless name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who reigns with you, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Rachel and Eva and Cam and Eric and Kenan. Praise the Lord. Yes, there's just something about music. There's just something about music. So I have long held this view that we know that God is the Word. He is the Word of God. He is what God has to say, the Word of God. And we understand that creation was made when God spoke. God spoke creation into existence. But I also have this view that there is a connection between the Holy Spirit and music. Music that reaches to our inner being. Music that has a way of uniting us. And I wonder, I just wonder, and that is all also a description of the Holy Spirit. And so I wonder, I just wonder, when our Creator creates the new heaven and the new earth, I just wonder if He will sing into creation. He will sing. And if He sings the new heaven and the new earth, what a magnificent place that will be. Anyway, it's a sidetrack. That's 2 minutes for free. You don't have to. Yeah, that's just. Life is a maze. We live in this complex situation where we are making decisions all the time. What do I say? What do I post? Who do I trust? How do I spend my time, my effort, my money? Wouldn't it be great if you knew ahead of time what the right decisions were and the right actions were, the right things to think and say and do before you were actually called upon to make those actions and decisions? Wouldn't that be fantastic? If you could just, if you knew. That's wisdom. Wisdom is a hot commodity. And it seems like some people have it, at least some of the time, and some people don't have it. A lot of the time. Who does God desire to have wisdom? Who does God desire to have wisdom? We're going to, over the course of the summer, we're going to put a pause on Q&R, question and response, but we will return to it in the fall. So question and response is something I do regularly where you have an opportunity to email or text your questions in and we respond to them live. And so that is going to return in the fall. So on this matter of decision-making and complexities of life, the challenge is not only are we required to make choices or decisions, but we're constantly in the course of life asked to take an action, to make a direction, to make a point. And the problem is, or the challenge is, that we can be persuaded. Sometimes we can even be deceived. There is no shortage of misinformation, and if I would just be so blatant about it, there seems to be at least as many lies as there is truth. And so we wonder if you are somebody that knows about God, you wonder, does God care? Is he absent? Has he just kind of wound up his creation like a clock? He's just wound it up and now he's just standing and watching as the clock runs. Is that what God is like? Jesus, he came, he was crucified, he rose from the dead, and he ascended. Did Jesus ascend and leave us to our own devices, so to speak? Oh, he sent the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit actually have an influence in our lives? Does the Holy Spirit actually lead and guide? Where do you get your wisdom from? What is the source of your wisdom? Like when you, who defines wisdom for you? Is it friends? Is it your own logic or reason? Online. Or if it's friends, it's certain friends, the smart friends. Maybe they're the ones that define wisdom for you and your source. Or online. Well, certain websites, but not other websites. Or is it actually God who defines and is the source of your wisdom? If God gives wisdom, to whom does he give it? It's a specific kind of person that God has in mind for dispensing his wisdom. We're this summer going through a sermon series entitled The Way of Wisdom, and we're in different passages in the book of Proverbs. And one of the things you'll discover here in this passage that we're going to look at is that the wisdom is personified. In other words, the writer talks about wisdom as though wisdom was a person. So that's a writing technique. Another writing technique that you're going to notice in the passage that we're going to look at in a moment, another technique is something called metaphors, where one symbol, one idea, one point is meant to represent something else. So the writer uses one thing to represent something else. That's called metaphor. And so this begins to help us as we read Proverbs 9, starting in verse 1. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. So in this language of personalization and metaphor, we hear wisdom as a person. Oftentimes, wisdom is interchanged with God, for example. In wisdom, God created the heavens and the earth. And what we hear here is that wisdom has, in essence, by this description of metaphors, created a place and a provision for humankind. That place, that temple could be earth. The pillars could be the seven pillars could represent the seven churches. And so what we're reading is that wisdom has created a place and a provision for people. And what happens after this writer describes how wisdom has created this? What happens next? What does wisdom do after the preparations? She has sent out her servant girls, starting in verse 3. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town, "You that are simple, turn in here." To those without sense, she says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight," or in the way of wisdom. So after making those provisions, wisdom makes a public invitation, goes to the highest points in the town, so to speak, and makes a public invitation. Now we need to map some of these words here, these metaphors. So bread symbolizes strength or ability. And wine is like water. It represents or symbolizes sustainability. We need bread in order to have strength and ability to conduct life. We need wine or water. They drank wine, we drink water in the same sense. We can only go a certain number of days without it. It is what sustains us. So wisdom is inviting and saying, take part of my resources of strength and ability. Take part of my resources to sustain you. And then who is the invitation to? The invitation, the word simple, means those who are making decisions are in life but are possible to persuasion. People that are able to be persuaded or maybe even sometimes deceived. And then without sense, that word sense in the Hebrew is the inner being. Sometimes in the Greek we'd say cardia or heart, but it's conscience, and those without or a lack of wisdom. So the invitation goes out to those who are making decisions but can be persuaded or sometimes deceived, those who lack wisdom. So actually, wisdom has a very particular public appeal to a very specific group of people. The very specific group of people are those who need wisdom and lack wisdom. Those who need it and lack it. Now, in my notes, I put the word everyone. But you decide. But this is the point, is actually that your need is the nod that you are a great candidate for divine wisdom. Your lack of wisdom is your license to request and receive it. And we're talking about a very specific kind of wisdom. It's a wisdom, it's a divine wisdom, it's a wisdom to be able to walk as a follower of Jesus. In the case of the Proverbs, it was a wisdom that enabled them to follow the Torah, to follow Yahweh, to live according to Yahweh's guidance and direction. And then we understand as we get into the New Testament that actually Jesus now takes this language on himself and says, "I am the bread." He says, unless you take part in, and at some points in the Gospel of John, he uses this harsh language. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's trying to really, again, with his hyperbolic, metaphoric language, he's saying that he is this. And so it's divine wisdom. So it's for everyone. That's inclusive. And it's divine wisdom, the knowing how to follow Jesus in your daily life, that's specific. And there's only one source for that kind of wisdom. And that's the bread and the wine. That is our Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So while the invitation is inclusive for everybody, the source of that wisdom is exclusive. This kind of wisdom you will not find at any HTTP site. You will not find this kind of wisdom on Instagram or Twitter or TikTok or even any other location. But through the power of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. The way of wisdom. We actually, when wisdom invites people to partake, he says, she says, to take the bread and to drink the cup, it's actually to participate in the life of Jesus. To inhabit, to take Jesus so far into your being that you begin to think and feel and act and speak in the way of Jesus. Take Jesus so far in that it begins to shape and form what you do in the course of your life. How you raise your child, how you interact with your neighbor, what you do at work, and so on and so forth. You may have heard of the keto diet, the Atkins diet, the seafood diet. You see food, you eat it. This divine wisdom is also a particular diet. It's the bread and wine diet. It is the Jesus way. The way of Jesus is the way of wisdom. And this is the character of our God. This is the truth about the character of our God, is that He desires for us to have wisdom. He desires for us to have divine wisdom. So much so that the Father and Son said that they would send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit would come, and we say into, you know, we say, have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Or what we really mean when we're saying that is, when you say yes, that Jesus is Lord of your life, that you're going to have Jesus as the guidance and the captain and the way you live, then Scripture says, John in chapter 7, for example, says that people that say that receive the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Holy Spirit into, in essence, our conscience, and the Holy Spirit, as we read in Scripture, begins to shape and inform. The Holy Spirit's will and want is to lead you and guide you and give you wisdom. Oh, but only for those that need it and lack it. It's a particular kind. So what that necessarily means is that if that is the case, then we would need to get to know about Jesus, build a relationship with Jesus, so that we can live in love like Jesus, because that's the way of wisdom. How did Jesus interact with people? Well, we can go to Scripture and see some ways, and so then that informs the way we interact with people, and that is wisdom, divine wisdom. How did Jesus talk? How did He speak to people? That informs how we speak, and that is divine wisdom. How did He deal with temptation and difficulties and struggles? How did He feel? Because He felt, He had feelings, and He had those sorts of things. And if we begin to say, well, I'm going to start by mimicking that, then eventually those things become, from disciplines, become habits, and we are now expressing divine wisdom. I want to see if I can illustrate that this morning. And I'm going to bring a couple of things over to the front here. Bless you. Let me see here. I'm going to put this down here. How many of you actually know what this is? Okay. Yeah, it's a saw. I got dad jokes, but I'm going to refrain. I wonder, is there somebody here who has never used this before that wants to come and give me a hand. Don't be embarrassed. This is old school. Like, this is probably like landline. This is like, before smartphones. Is there somebody here who has not used this before and would like to be a helper for me? Anybody, put up your hand or just stand or rush the platform. Is there somebody you would like to? Okay, come on. Kevin, could you get some Band-Aids from the... No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Safety first. All right. So what we're talking about here this morning, so come on up. And remind me what your name is.
Andrew.
Excellent, Andrew. So you've never used one of these before?
No.
Okay. So the first thing I want to tell you is this side here, very sharp. Okay? So we got to always be paying attention to that. So the next thing we're going to do is we need to cut off this piece of... So just work with me here, okay? We need to cut off this piece of wood because it's of no use to us. It's kind of damaged. So what we're going to do is we're going to measure where that is. So I'm going to go like this, and I'm going to take a measurement here, and I'm going to use my square, and I'm going to draw a line. So you can see what I'm doing here. Take a look. So I'm going to draw a line like that, make sure it's nice and dark on the piece of wood. And then I'm going to go over like this. I'll put this paper down so that our custodian doesn't get upset with me. I can't guarantee it's all going to land there. But so then the other thing I'm going to do, Andrew, is I'm going to put my knee on this piece of wood over here. And by the way, for you adults, this is a metaphor. Okay? Because most of you aren't going to have to literally do this. All right, so I'm going to put my knee on here so that the wood doesn't move. Then I'm going to see the sharp side over there, and I'm going to line it up over here. Now, you're going to have to come really close and lean in, okay? So I'm going to put you see the blades of the teeth of the saw? They're on that line over here. But I have to watch this hand that I don't cut it. So what I'm going to do is put my hand on this side. Do you see what I mean? And then I'm going to slowly pull up a couple of times until it begins to make a groove in the piece of wood. Okay, I'm going to make a groove in the piece of wood so it comes up a couple of times, and then I'm going to start pushing down very slowly, okay, just like that. And then I'm going to go all the way through to the end of the line until I cut it off. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, you can go and have a seat. No, Andrew, I'm kidding. Just hang on with me. So far, I have given him some information. So far, even if I have given him that information and he has sort of saved it and knows what I'm talking about, he has knowledge. But does he have wisdom? Does he have wisdom about cutting the wood yet? Does he? Why not? Oh, because he hasn't done it. Could he actually teach somebody else yet? No, because he actually needs to do it in order, because wisdom is revealed, it develops, it comes into life when we're in action, in the choices and the things we do. You have some siblings, right? Some brothers.
Yeah.
So you know what? When Andrew's here, I bet you his siblings are watching, because that's the other part of it. Somebody's always watching. So now, what I want you to do, Andrew, is I want you to hold this like I was showing you. Yeah. And what are you going to do? You're going to put your, yeah, exactly, a little closer. Maybe put your knee a little closer. Yeah, over there. Now, are you in the, put that saw in the groove. Okay. Yeah. Can you get it all the way in the groove? There we go. Yeah, that's more. And then you're going to put your hand right about there. Yeah, but watch your thumb. So what I do is I put my thumb on top. Now I'll just slowly start moving. Can you move it up first? Yeah, just nice and easy, nice and light. Yeah, and then, yeah, and then down. And maybe just angle it a bit more like that. Yeah, angle it a bit more. That's it. Yeah, angle it up just a little bit more. That's right. Yeah, And a few more. Cool. I think, yeah, that's good. I'm going to pause you there because I think, do you feel like now you feel it a bit more? You feel like you maybe have a little more understanding of what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you actually describe it to your siblings when you go back?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Does it, it feels a bit different than just looking at it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Andrew. That's good. I appreciate it. Thank you. Excellent, Andrew. That is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I said metaphor because you're not going to be actually literally required to do a lot of this. But you are, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are building your life. And you are building and involved in the kingdom of God. And the only way you will know about Jesus, I mean, know him, is when you're doing things like him. When you face temptation and you resist it like Jesus, now you know a bit about Jesus. When people call you names and you don't fight back, now you know about Jesus. And you can now tell your friend or your family member, and they can do the same thing too. So when this language of bread and cup, it's like that's what's going on. But the verse ends with, so that you can live and walk. The word walk is also a metaphor for the way you live your life. So that you can live your life this way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to cut wood, so to speak. So thankful. Scripture is actually the source and the inventor of the pedagogical model that is used today. The teaching model that is used today. The teaching model that is used today goes like this. Tell, show, do. That's the teaching model. And that teaching model comes from Scripture. It comes from Scripture and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite the music team to come back onto the platform as we make our way toward communion. I guess my question that I want to leave with you is who is persuading you? Who is defining wisdom for you? What is wisdom in your estimation, in your definition of the term? What is your reference point? Because you're always referring to someone or something when it comes to, is this the right choice? Is this the right decision? Is this the right words? Is this the right action? We're always referencing something or someone. Who is that? Would you be willing to allow Jesus in his life to define what wisdom is for you? And if you are, what is one way that you will choose to build your relationship with Jesus this week? Something you need to know about him, something, time you need to spend with him. What is one way that you will build your relationship with him and one way that you will allow Jesus to influence the way you conduct your life? And remember, at first it might feel clunky. It might be kind of like, it feels like a discipline, but disciplines go from disciplines to habits. And soon you develop some pretty good habits. And eventually habits become instincts. In other words, you're following Jesus in such a way, you're conducting your life in such a way that now it just kind of happens. In certain circumstances. What's that one way? Some of you I know, you're on that road already. I know it. You've endured difficulty and hardship. And you have not given up on the Lord, even though you feel like the Lord has been silent. But you said no. Some of you have faced temptations after temptations after temptations. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have overcome at least sometimes. And when you have failed, you have dusted yourself off and you have said, I'm going to continue to follow Jesus. I know it. Some of you have already loved the unlovable. You've been following Jesus. Some of you have been other-oriented. Instead of being self-centered, you have been other-centered. That is Christ-like. You've been generous. And all of that is divine wisdom. So as we come to communion this morning, as we prepare for communion this morning, as we take the bread and we take the cup, this morning it symbolizes the strength and ability that the Lord wants us to have. The bread symbolizing His very real body. The cup, the wine, the water, representing His ability to sustain you in life and in wisdom. His very real life. So as you take communion this morning, may it be an aspiration for you, your yes to Jesus, and your no to the old self or the old self ways that we're continually trying to break free from. We're going to take a moment of silence in prayer. Then I will pray with us. And the table here this morning is the table of the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, come to this table. Come to meet with me at this table. Whether you have been here for all 50 years that Westview has been here, whether you've been here for 5 weeks, the Lord says, come. Whether you feel like your faith is really strong or you feel like your faith is really weak, the Lord says, come. Whether you feel like you have done well or whether you feel like you keep stumbling, the Lord says, come to my table and meet with me here and allow me to give you the provision you need for the life that I am giving you. And all of us are participating in some form or fashion. If you have made a decision that Jesus is Lord of your life, then we're asking that you can partake of these elements. If Jesus is not yet Lord of your life, but you're making that decision here this morning, then we invite you to take of these elements. And if you are unsure, then you're participating by being here and observing, and we just ask that you pass those elements by. But talk to a pastor. Let's take a minute of silent prayer. Words of our Lord, our voice, O Lord. Consider the meditations of our hearts and our minds. Listen to our voices, our King and our God. For it is to you that we pray. O Lord, in the morning, we lift up our prayers to you. And we will look up. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite the servers and those that are praying.